Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. It's that day. It's the day we talk with Kemp Haar, who is a publisher of Floor Focus magazine, looking back at some of the events over the past week. And Kemp, how you doing?
I'm fine, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And I should say that you are at an event as we speak. You're only a couple of miles away at Adairsville, and you're at a Shaw function, the Shaw Visions Retreat.
That's right. Actually, it wraps up today. It started Sunday, and it's a really a pretty neat event that Shaw's putting on here. What they do is they reach out across the country to interior designers that are focused in the residential market, both in the replacement side of the business and in the builder side of the business. And they bring them in. They have homework before they can come, but they, ask them to assemble what's selling, what are the looks, and bring some of these, little samples and swatches and things like that. And they come together and get all kinds of great, market-based information about what some of the trends are. Because as you know, in this country, color varies from one part of the. From one part of the area to another, and so they bring them in and they get inside their heads, and this is the kind of information they use to develop their new styles that they'll be rolling out in around December when they bring out their new products right before surfaces.
I see.
And so it's down at Barnsley Gardens, and it's a first class event, as you can imagine. Barnsley is a first class place, So they invited a few of the press members to come and watch the process, I got to pat them on the back. It's Emily Mara as the person who kind of drives it, but there's a lot of folks here that are from R&D, and they just listen to these designers talk about what's going on in their marketplace, so it's been an interesting few days.
We're going to have Emily on right after this retreat is over, so we'll get an inside look. And I guess some of the people at Shaw are familiar with the owners over there at Barnsley Gardens, I understand.
That's right. They've got an inside line here with Julian now owning this place. And I got a comment. I don't think the Florin, the French guy that owned it before, was making any money, but. Julian's expanding this place. He's got, seven or eight new houses coming up out here. And I don't know if you've heard, they're opening up some game reserve, some quail game reserve up the 600-acre land that's behind this place. So this is going to be a destination.
Well, it's really a perfect place for the Shaw Group, or for any group in this area, really, because it's so nice and it's so close.
Oh, and it's a spa, too. So, since these folks are coming and helping to contribute to, what Shaw's going to come out with next year, they didn't give me one, but all the designers and stuff, they're offering these spas or 18 holes of golf or whatever they want to do.
Okay, if I go in there later today, I want to make sure to see you in these meetings, though.
All right, I'll be there.
Okay. And as I mentioned, we'll be talking about this one day next week with Emily Murrow, who you said is really running the show there.
Yeah, she's done real well at Shaw. She's got a corner office in the design center, and she's leading this whole process. And she's part of that color marketing group. And one of the things they handed out today was pretty interesting is Shaw's already decided what their color trends are for next year, and Emily would probably shoot me if I rattle off some of these names. But
tell anybody.
Yeah, that's right. I better not say. But anyway, they've come up with some what the colors are going to be for next year based on research they got from the color marketing group, and it's a very interesting meeting.
And we'll see the results from this meeting, or some of the results anyway, with some of the products that we'll see on down the road here.
That's right. Well, this is what they use this. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember, but one of their Ansoap categories that they rolled out last year was called Visions, and it came as a result of this meeting. And I think they've been doing this now for about 4 years in a row.
Well, it's really a great idea, and I'm sure that there's a lot of talent out there, a lot of ideas that, it's a great vehicle to scoop up some of these ideas.
Oh, yeah. This, it's an eclectic group of designers and they sit around talking about what's going on. It's interesting to watch.
Okay, well, I'll see if any of this design talent rubs off on you.
Okay.
Okay, let's take a break here. I'm going to come back and change the subject. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at some of the events that have occurred in the business over this last week, one of which just came out yesterday. This was an announcement from Faust, another area organization, a laminate producer in Calhoun. In fact, their plant has been operative for just about a year, and they've announced a $20 million expansion.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I actually talked to Juan Flores about that a couple of weeks ago for an issue, an article we were doing in the magazine, and he was telling me a little bit about this. And you know, this is basically going to double their production and take them up to 100 million square feet of laminate capacity. And so, you know, I asked him. I said, you know, can this country absorb that kind of capacity? And he said, well, you know, not all of it's bound for domestic use. You know, they're a Spanish-based company, and, you know, with some of the currency fluctuations and everything the way it is, you know, making this product in Calhoun, some of it's bound for the global marketplace. So, you know, that was an interesting side note that he added when we discussed this.
Well, as a matter of fact, we're going to have Juan Flores, the president, on next week talking about this and some of the other plans at the organization. And, again, we were both there just a little bit over a year ago when they had the grand opening of this plant. And here they are, I think, about 13 months away, and they're already expanding.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of people may not know. I mean, there's certainly you've got the Faust branded product out there, but they have several major private label programs that, you know, where they sell product they make in those plants. You know, they're pretty a big player in the laminate market.
Well, this was one of the things that we talked about in the interview, was the fact that this is their 10th year in the United States.
That's right.
And many of those years were spent just exactly as you said, making private label product for many players around the country, big and small.
Right.
And I guess they continue to do that. And, of course, their focus is at the high end.
That's right.
And they are a major player at the high end.
That's right. They play in the upper category. And you know, some of the products they make, they make a laminate product that it looks just like ceramic tile, and you have to almost touch it to see that it's, you know, that it's not ceramic. So some good looking.
Yeah, it's one of those things you have to get down on your hands and knees to really make sure. It's,
yeah, and you know, another thing that Juan and I talked about a couple of weeks ago is they own several patents. You know, we always hear about Unilin arguing with, you know, some of these other companies around their intellectual properties, but Faust owns several patents also in this area.
Yeah, there's they have the micro bevel,
right,
and they also have the embossed in register, and there's some other surface intellectual property that they have that I don't quite understand, and I know they're working on some more, and they license this obviously to players, and of course the embossed in register has been the real hot item in this business for the last several years.
And, you know, there's in the laminate category, there's they've been slowly taking more share, if you will, of the surfaces in the residence. And it's been mostly in the replacement market because, you know, it's a cash and carry type product. But they're even making some inroads in the builder market. And they're getting some builders who are a little bit resistant to change to accept the use of laminate in new construction. And granted, that market's soft right now, but when it kicks back up, they'll be poised and ready to roll. And they're also doing, you know, looking at the commercial market and seeing where, you know, laminate will work in the commercial market. So they've got a lot going on at Faust.
Well, I think, too, and as we mentioned, where Faust is at the higher end of this business, a lot of areas that, I don't know, you wouldn't think necessarily that laminate would fit, and it does, and it's a very, you know, hot area of the laminate market. Let's take a break here. Some of the news that's come out since we talked last was Lowe's second quarter earnings. They came out earlier this week, and we're going to talk a bit about that in the next segment and compare some of those numbers to Home Depot.
I saw that. You know, while the news is bad, they're beating Home Depot, I guess, in same store sales. So.
Well, they had a good quarter. They beat them just about across the board.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that in the next segment. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar's on the line with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at some of the events that have occurred in this business over the last 7 days, one of which, as I mentioned just before we took this last break, was Lowe's second quarter earnings, up some 9%. Actually, they had a really good quarter considering everything that was going on. And as I mentioned, they were up by their earnings were up by 9% to just over $1 billion, $1.02 billion. And as we mentioned, we were going to compare some of these with Home Depot. And Home Depot's second quarter earnings were actually off. They were off by 15% to $1.6 billion.
So you've got Lowe's up 9% and Home Depot off 15%.
Exactly right. And Lowe's earnings per share were up by 11%, almost 12% to 67 cents. And I don't have the increase on Home Depot's, but theirs was 81 cents.
Do you have the comparison? You know, a lot of people like to look at the same store sales numbers.
I've got that. Let me give you the sales first. Lowe's sales for the quarter up by 5.8% to $14.2 billion. Home Depot sales during the quarter were off by 1.8% to $22.2 billion, both of those for the second quarter. Same store sales at Lowe's off by 2.6%, and Home Depot sales down by 5.2%. And now Lowe's beat analyst estimates. They were Lowe's earnings per share came in at 61. And that was the expectation was 61, and they came in at 81. Home Depot earnings estimates of the analysts were 72 cents, and they came in at 81. So they did beat analyst estimates, although they didn't have really a very good quarter.
So same store sales, they're performing better, still off, but better. And so I guess they attribute a lot of this growth to the fact that they've opened so many new stores. So, I mean, to have same store sales off negative 2.6 and then have a growth of 9%, I guess.
New stores. I think they had 26 stores that they opened during the quarter. Mm-hmm. And that was really what was responsible for the growth. Although I think that there was a comment that I have here somewhere that was made by one of the analysts. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Robert Niblock said, who is the chief executive officer at Lowe's, he said that one of the things that really helped them was sticking to their knitting. He said while Home Depot's focus was diverted to its wholesale supply business, of course HD Supply and everything going on there, Lowe's pretty much focused on their core area of business, and that was one reason why they did as well as they did. So, no question about the fact that this whole HD Supply and the whole shift and the change in leadership and direction certainly has to cause you to miss a couple of beats.
Yeah, I noticed that Frank Blake was at the Rotary Club in Atlanta Monday, and I guess this report had just come out, and so they asked him to comment on it, and he says, well, it just goes to show you that, this housing market is affecting both of us, and he went on to add that he didn't see it getting any better until sometime in 08. So I read that in the Atlanta paper yesterday.
Well, that's true. In fact, I think a lot of players are saying that that's even a bit early.
Right.
Some of the information Lowe's gave during their press conference earlier this week, they said that 12 of 22 operating regions posted positive same-store sales gains. 15 of 20 product categories gained share. And Niblock said that they, in essence, gained share in terms of units during the quarter. And he also noted another couple of interesting comments that he made, that the hardest hit stores were ones in stores in these regions, in the California and Florida regions, were the hardest hit stores in terms of housing market, reacting to the housing market. And they said that same store sales in California were actually worse than they were in the first quarter.
Hmm.
So, and I think they said they see some recovery in Florida, but they didn't see a whole lot in California. Let's pause here.
All right.
Just check the time. They're running a little bit long. Let's take a break here. We'll come back and wind up our conversation here about Lowe's. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This morning we're looking back at some of the events that have occurred in this business over the last 7 days. Kemp Haar is with us, a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a co-owner of the website floordaily.net. We were talking about Lowe's and comparing some of their numbers with Home Depot. Of course, Lowe's reported their second quarter earnings earlier this week. They were up by 9% to just over $1 billion. Looking at some of the other results, the company said that, you know, in spite of the soft market out there, they're still going to open some 150 to 160 stores this year. They've trimmed their capital spending a bit, only by now the total amount earlier was forecast at $4.3 billion, and they're going to trim that by $250 million. So not a great amount. It sounds to me like perhaps Lowe's has peaked, and we'll see them not doing quite as well in the third and fourth quarters of this year. That cut their expectations for the third quarter and for year end. And it also sounds like Mr. Niblock is being cautious. I think the whole subprime market, coupled with just the housing market in general. I got the impression that he didn't necessarily see negative things happening in the stores, but he's cautious, and that's why they trim some of their sales looking forward for the third and fourth quarter expectations.
You know, that word cautious just depends. I mean, you just told us that they're talking about opening 150 to 160. That's an 11% growth. You know, they've already got 1,400 stores out there, and you know, and all what 49 states, and I mean, that sounds like a pretty aggressive growth plan to me as far as new store openings.
Well, of course, I think he's looking third and fourth quarter, being cautious there, and he didn't really address when he sees this housing market bouncing back. But or even coming back, I don't know if bounce is a good word, but obviously this is more of a long-term growth, and I suspect even if this we don't see growth until in the middle of 2009 or later, I suspect these stores, you know, a lot of these stores, you know, will just be getting online then.
Yeah, you know, when Blake was talking at the Rotary Club on Monday down in Atlanta, he mentioned about these subprime loans being the biggest cause, saying that last year, of all the mortgages written, 20% of them were in the subprime category. And so, you know.
That's an interesting number. I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, he's got, I guess Mr. Blank has more on his mind than mortgages, I suppose, at this point, doesn't he?
He does.
You know, interesting, yesterday foreclosure numbers came out. And foreclosures have nearly doubled from a year ago. This was according to Reality Track, or Realty Track, rather, which was released yesterday.
Yes, in July they were up, 93% over the year before?
93% over the year before. and they were more than doubled. This was from July of a year ago. I mean, it's amazing, and it's amazing really how quickly this whole situation in the housing market has developed.
You know, and I looked at that, and it had the usual states that we've heard about, California and Florida, and we knew that the auto industry was not doing well, so it was mentioned in Michigan and Ohio. But I noticed Georgia was in the top five states for foreclosures, so that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it said that of those five states, the ones that you mentioned, they counted for more than half of all the foreclosures in the United States. That's pretty amazing.
Those five states.
Yes. And I don't know, and Georgia had a really healthy number. I don't have the number there, but it was a pretty healthy percentage. No, I don't know what the story is there.
But the number was the state of Georgia, 12,602 foreclosure filings, up 75% from June the year before.
That's interesting. Well, more subprime problems, and I guess Mr. Blake certainly was right about the number of subprime mortgages. Let's pause here. I'm going to come back, and we got some good news about some of the real estate market. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Kent Parr this morning. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're looking back at the week in the floor covering industry. Kent Parr's with us, a publisher of Floor Focus magazine, and we've been talking about the residential market, which really isn't so hot out there. It seems like the commercial real estate market is doing right well, thank you very much. This is according to an announcement that came from the National Association of Realtors yesterday. They announced their commercial leading indicator for brokerage activity. It was up by 0.5%. And
the highest on record.
The highest on record. That was in the second quarter.
Yeah.
So we seem to be clicking along there, and they had some pretty good things to say pretty much across the board, it looked like.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the total flooring picture, I guess the commercial market represents, or at least the specified piece of it, represents about 25% of the marketplace. But thank goodness, while that's only a quarter of the total revenue, that there is that shimmering sector that's doing well.
Well, and we just keep our fingers crossed that it will continue to do as well. And it looks like from some of these numbers, some of the absorption and so on, and the new completed commercial construction activity, that you know, this is going to be continuing to grow going forward.
Yeah, let me throw in a little plug for the magazine. You know, our next issue of Floor Focus is going to have our top 250 design survey in it, and you know, we're starting to get those back now as we compile that story, and getting some very interesting information. So I can't wait to share that with you when we publish that.
I'll be looking forward to that.
All right.
Now, your office is up in Chattanooga.
That's right.
And a new office. So you were there, what, about a year?
Let's see. We moved the magazine down there, and I think it was in February.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So almost a year and a half. You've got a new neighbor there who will be in the carpet business. A new carpet producer here in the U.S. is going to be in Chattanooga, and is going to produce automotive carpet for Chinese Japanese.
That's right.
Automobile producers that are producing automobiles right here in this country.
Can you pronounce the name of that company?
Well, I practiced it before, but I don't know that I could do it. I think it's Shusho. Shusho.
It's not Hasatora?
Well, Hasatora is they're one of the partners.
Oh, okay.
They're one of the joint venture partners. It's Toyota Tsusho and Toyota Tsusho Corporation of Japan have entered into a venture with Hasatora Spinning.
Okay.
And there's a couple of more names I can't pronounce very well in here as well.
You know, there's when you're talking about carpet for cars, there's tufted, and then there's felted or needle punched. And I noticed that this plant is going to be making tufted carpets, which is the upper end. It's the better looking goods.
Yeah. Well, it is like bringing Kohl's to Newcastle, I suppose, to set up a plant here. But they're talking about Hasatora technology, and they're going to be bringing the equipment from Japan, which will be producing the product for these Japanese producers. So I guess they at least came to the right place, coming to someplace very, very close to Dalton.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that from where the new Floor Focus office is to this plant is only about 3 miles, so it's very close to us.
I see. Well, you can go over and peek in the window over there or something.
Yeah, it must be fairly automated, because I noticed that while they're going to have some good output, and let's see, 2.5 million square meters of carpet per year, that it's going to employ 20 people. So it must be fairly automated.
Well, you have to go over there with your camera.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'd welcome you in the door, don't you think?
Maybe so.
Let's do this. Let's take one more break here. This will be the last one.
All right.
And we're going to come back and change the subject. Kent Parr is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're looking back at some of the events in this business over the last 7 days or so. And one thing I wanted to bring up here before we ran out of time was the CFI meeting.
That's right.
Upcoming,
it's this week.
Starting today, I believe, isn't it?
Is it?
Today or
tomorrow?
That's
right. It starts today. Sure does.
Yeah. And we were both there last year. We're going to miss it this year. It's in Kansas City, the home of Mr. Jim Walker.
Yeah, that's Jim and his wife Jane. They really do put on a good show, and many of y'all know that organization, CFI, and they're the ones that I guess were in the early stages of developing a certification program so that dealers could have qualified installers to go out, and they focus early on carpet, but now they focus in all types of flooring. So I got to hand it to Jim Walker and the organization that he was able to put together.
Well, and there's a lot of people that go out on these certifications, and they hold these all over the country all the time.
Oh yeah,
and this is volunteer.
And actually, the people have to individuals have to pay for the certification, and they have varying levels. I think they have a master level, and I don't know what all the levels are, but it's a tough. It's a written test, and you have to get out and to pass, you have to install pattern carpets and all of the different flooring types that have different demands and nuances. You really have to know your stuff to get to be a master installer.
That's true, and there's an awful lot of people involved in there who have given of their time over the years, really for the betterment of the whole installation community. And our hats off to all of those. Sorry that we can't make it to this get together. You know, another thing too that Jim Walker's involved in is the revamping of the Karastan installation program. He's been involved in that for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, and they're revamping that. And he's quite involved in that as well.
You know, when we were together with him last year, he was telling me that's one of his favorite pet projects is working with Mohawk on that program, and that they put, it's tied into their warranty. So that's a nice program, and I think Mohawk and Jim have a long-standing relationship on the program, just that program you're talking
uh-huh.
about.
Well, this looks to me, too, like this is first class.
Right.
And I think there's even weaving involved in this, and they've got lots of the latest tools and DVDs and all kinds of information on here. And also one of the things that I think that I know is always discussed when we talk about the installation sector, not only the hands-on training and so on, but people skills. You know, the installer is the last person to see the customer.
That's right. And it's interesting how in this business, you know, there's people in the dealer area that have either installers that are on their payroll or they have a contractor relationship. And it is so important for those two. I mean, they can complement each other, because when the installer goes in there, the first thing he can do is say, oh, this is a nice floor that you bought, and you know, and so therefore reinforce the consumer's decision to buy that flooring. And then they can you know, talk about maybe perhaps a referral program for the dealer. And if the two work hand in hand very closely, they can help each other out.
Uh-huh.
And so it's always interesting to see where, in you know, when we do our dealer survey, and this year, you know, it wasn't the most important, it wasn't the highest problem issue as it has been in the past. It was, I think this year was margins, but so perhaps, you know, some things are getting better there. But installation has always been, you know, a thorn or a negative topic in some of our surveys.
Well, I think it still is. I think just the fact that times are more difficult, other things become a greater problem, but
right.
I think installation is probably the same percentage, you know, or they have the same number of problems out there anyway as they've always had.
But the point I'm trying to make is if the dealer and the installer can develop a way of working together, they can help each other out.
No question about it. And I think this, and I know that the CFI in general, separate from the Karastan program, deals with appearance and people skills, but it's just a really important cog in the whole installation wheel.
Right.
And on that note, we unfortunately are out of time, Kemp.
Okay. Well, I've always enjoyed doing this with you.
Well, you have a good time there with all the rest of the designers. All the rest of them, I shouldn't say, but all the designers there. And I want to hear something in design speak when you come back.
All right. You go answer that phone.
I'll do it. The wonders of science.
That's right.
We will talk to you, Kemp, in about 2 weeks.
See you, Dave.
Okay. We've been talking with Kemp Haar. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine, and you're listening to Floor Radio.